over the last few weeks of the end of the fall, I have been reading a book by our neighbor, Dr. Gawande, his most recent book, Being Mortal. Maybe you know it. Maybe you know his work. He is, at least to me, our generation's most elegant and eloquent writer in matters of medicine. And you can read his essays often in the pages of The New Yorker. Being Mortal is a different sort of book for Dr. Gawande. Over a career of writing, he has pretty much focused his attention on opening for us mere mortals the mysteries of how doctors do their work in today's incredibly technologically advanced hospital. He's written about how doctors are trained and about how they make mistakes and how they can design ways of helping them prevent making mistakes. He is a wise, deeply informed, beautifully articulate observer of a profession that sooner or later touches all of us. But as I say, this book is different. In reading it, I was struck by the thought that Dr. Gawande wrote it to share with us a discovery that he has made, a discovery so profound that if it were fully grasped, it might actually change the way doctors work, the way they are trained, even how our whole healthcare system is structured. That discovery, are you ready? You're all sitting down. Are you ready? That discovery is that people turn out to be more than medical puzzles for doctors to solve. And there is another discovery related to that that is equally incredible. No matter what medicine does, no matter what procedures the doctors invent to offer us or inflict on us, no matter what the human condition is, we are all mortal. And there is more to making meaning out of our lives than simply being alive. I am being a little unfair to Dr. Gawande's book. It is a very fine book, and at least for some of you, if you have been very good this year, you may find it under the tree in the morning. But seeing the question from the perspective of the church, especially seeing it through the lens of the story that we tell again tonight, it is a little hard not to smile when you close the book, just wondering what took this brilliant man so long to figure this out. After all, it is the very basic truth that lies at the heart of the purpose of faith. What Dr. Gawande ends up arguing is that we get a lot farther toward the goal of actually healing human beings rather than just addressing medical puzzles when the relationship is not between a doctor and a patient, not between a technician and a problem, but between two actual people. Healing people does not only mean treating them as whole human beings, it means bringing your whole human self as a doctor into the conversation and not just your training. So now perhaps you will see why being mortal, at least for me, is a near-perfect Christmas book. Because the message we are trying to convey to the whole world, this discovery that we have made about how God works, is pretty much the same discovery that Dr. Gawande makes about how people work. The medical form of that discovery is this: people are more than medical problems. We have lives in which our purpose is to make meaning, to know love, to experience beauty, to be connected to other human beings. We can hurt ourselves. We have bodies that are frail and ultimately die. And to best understand what medicine can do for us, our doctors need to begin and not end by meeting us on our own ground, by meeting us as a person to a person. The spiritual form of that same discovery is almost the very same thing. People are more than individual, disconnected atoms. We have lives in which our purpose is to make meaning, to know love, to experience beauty, to have some sense of the possibility of the sacred, of the transcendent. We can hurt ourselves, both in body and in soul. We have bodies that are frail and ultimately die. And to best understand how to get our attention and connect with us, God ultimately figured out how to begin and not end by meeting us on our own ground as a person to a person. Folks, that is the point of Christmas. Now, when you deal with the doctor, you know that the doctor has an agenda for you. No matter how old you are, no matter how sick you are, no matter how much you think you do or don't need to take the doctor's advice, the doctor, at least any doctor worth going to, doesn't just want to fix you. The doctor wants to change you, to change your habits or your lifestyle or your stress level so that you will be a healthier and therefore a happier person. This year when I went for my annual physical, a couple of months ago, I showed up having kept off a bunch of weight that I lost more than a year ago. So for the second time, I showed up with all this weight gone. And you know what the doctor said to me? He said, "Thank you. Thank you for losing all that weight. You're going to be so much better as a patient now. Thank you." Do you think I would dare to go back to him putting weight on again? That changed me. The Christmas promise is that it is the very same with God. The little baby in the manger is not just a sweet Hallmark story. The little baby in the manger has been brought forth in the worst, most unsanitary circumstances by a desperately frightened young girl. The baby in the manger is dirty and messy and in danger and vulnerable. And the little baby in the manger is mortal. The man that child will become will live this life of ours fully and completely. Will know the same pain, the same joy, the same worries, the same triumphs, the same confusion, the same wonder, and the same death. The amazing, confusing, impossible, but plain truth about this night is that this is how God chooses, willingly chooses, to finally deal with us, with you. And just like the doctor, you know that when you deal with God, God has an agenda for you. No matter how old you are, no matter how sick you are, no matter how much you think you do or don't need God, God, at least any God worth believing in, doesn't just want to fix you. God wants to change you. Change your habits or your lifestyle or your stress level so that you will be a healthier and therefore a happier person. There are two parts to that agenda. The first one you might have heard about this morning on the radio because one of the local public radio stations did an hour-long segment on what?
Gratitude.
The power of gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. The power of living from a perspective of giving thanks rather than getting stuff. God has been trying to nudge you all along in that direction. Now, science says that it will make you happier and healthier too. Well, okay, you can believe it now because the scientists say it. But you know what? We've been saying that for a good long time. 800 or so years ago, Meister Eckhart said it this way. The only prayer you ever really need to say is, thank you. Thank you. That's it. Do that often enough, and believe me, your life really will change. The doctor thanked me. My life changed. That's the first thing. Here's the other. God is really hoping that one of the ways we will figure out how to say thank you is by hanging out more with each other, by spending more time together. These people around you, this family, these friends, this community of faith that has been here since 1897, this place that witnesses and tries to work in ways to represent the God who came because he loved us. No matter what you might get under the tree tomorrow, this is the most precious gift you have. So, give thanks. Stick together. Sing loud. God has come to meet us person to person. These folks are the best chance you are going to have for making that meeting. Merry Christmas. Amen.